Final hour on this Freaky Friday with Teron Davenport, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier with you as well. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Plenty of Titans talk as the Titans get ready for their stadium scrimmage tonight out at Nissan Stadium. I believe 6:30 is when things get going over there.
Yeah, so, gates open at 5.
So, yep, gates open at 5. 6:30 they get started. Should be a fun night out there to showcase the Titans, who are about a week and a half into camp, heading to Santa Clara next week for joint practices with the 49ers. I wanted to talk about Robert Saleh quickly before we dive into some of the defensive players making headlines. Tuesday, opportunity struck for Robert Saleh. It was the fourth or fifth play of team drills, and Jeffrey Simmons gets into it with Austin Schlotman. Mm-hmm. J.C. Latham comes in. It's a big scrum in the middle of the field. And so Jeffrey Simmons is sent off. The next play, was it Alec Iamanner and Marcus Harris were getting into it? The very next play, Robert Saleh stops practice, gathers everybody together, and puts his foot down. He draws the line. And since then, you know, you see a couple of skirmishes here and there, but outside of that, it's been really clean Tuesday, Thursday. I like to see that from Robert Saleh. He set an example. He stopped practice. He sent the best player on your roster off for the rest of the day. It's what you want to see when building this culture and showing leadership for Robert Saleh.
Yeah, that part of it was really important, and that was a brief test, right? And he showed, and I think that's an experience thing too. You know, he's been there and done that as far as a head coach.
Yeah. So,
and he's been able to format, okay, this is how I'm going to handle that. And I like what he did, right? Because, you know, across the league, there are some veterans who, if they don't feel like practicing, they won't get into a fight. So they could go inside and chill out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're not going inside if you throw a punch with Robert Saleh.
Nope.
You know, you're going to go to the side. You're still going to get your work in, but it's going to be a more, because it's just you, so you got to go. Quick break, go again. Like, you're not going to get the, okay, three plays, chill out. Like, you're in your own practice. So it is a punishment over there. And I do like what he did. It was smart. And, you know, it's funny. Like, if I was a coach, like, I would be like, hey, man, look, go ahead and get into a little rumble. Like, you're going to be fine. Just get into a little rumble. I need to set an example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would go to my best player and tell him that. And just tell him, look, man, just understand, like, I'm setting an example. It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
But you gotta be my pawn in this case. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's what happened here, but it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Your best player, known for what you know, the outbursts at times, does this, you handle it right away in that way. Now the rest of the team knows. Because I know if I'm Colin Saunders, and I see that, I'm like, I ain't throwing a punch.
Right.
Like, I'm not – Jeffrey Simmons got thrown off the
98 out. What's he going to do to me?
I mess around and get cut. You know what I mean? So it's an example that's been set.
Right. And, you're right. Jeffrey Simmons, I was keeping an eye on him on Tuesday. He was getting his work in, for sure, after he was removed from practice. I mentioned it, too. Like, J.C. Latham came flying in. He knocked Big Jeff on his butt there. Like,
Tanzel Smart did.
Oh,
he didn't
that was
knock
smart?
Him on his butt. But, like, as soon as, like, when he swung on JC, JC pushed him, and Tanzel Smart.
Gotcha.
I could see how it looked
that way. It looked like JC Latham.
Yeah, Tanzel Smart kind of just, like, drove him down.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that was more like to keep him, hey, big fella, we can't have you in this mix. You know what I mean?
No, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, JC needs to do a little more of that between the lines.
Yeah.
The pancake blocks.
Hey,
there.
Listen, if there's a, like, those two, man.
People,
it's funny to watch, man, because like Jeff, he picks at J.C. Latham, like he picks at him, you know. And I know it's one of those things where it's like
he's trying to get the best at.
Yeah, I had an older friend, and his name was Buddha. A dude, he would always pick at me and fight me, but he was trying to make me tougher.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's really
right
the way I see. The J.C. Latham and Jeffrey Simmons.
There's been some of the stupid takes on this of, oh, Jeff and J.C. hate each other. And, like, they're going after each other all the time. And, like, is there a, a rift in the locker room. It's like, no, these guys, Jeff Simmons knows that J.C. Latham is really important to this team, and he's going to push him to be the best guy that he can be.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sometimes that might not be received in the best way or may not be communicated in the best way, and it leads to some pushing and shoving. But in the end, they're all on the same team. They're all trying to get better, and I think that's what Jeffrey Simmons is trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is just trying to get him better. And, you know, like he said on the pivot, you know, he said, yeah, we might rumble in practice or whatever, but, like, on Sundays, those are my brothers, and yep. I got their back. So I guarantee you, J.C. Latham gets into involved with it with somebody, Jeff's going to go out there and, you know what I mean, be there for his teammate.
Well, and that skirmish wasn't even J.C. and Jeff that started. It was Schlotman Jeff who got into it. So it was just Jeff or J.C. defending his guy on the offensive line. And we talked about this before, TD, but moments like that, second day in pads, tensions boil over sometimes, and I do think that's why the joint practice schedule that Saleh has come up with is perfect, because you're getting one day of work with all three teams, you're getting a variety of different looks against different talent, and you're not having those second days where sometimes you devolve into chaos a little bit and you don't get the work in that you think is necessary.
Yeah, I think that's key, you know, to be able to get that work in, and, you know, hopefully there aren't any fights. Trent Williams, I don't know, man. there's a good chance that somebody's going to get into it with him. I hope it's not Jeffrey Simmons, because I feel bad for whoever has to break that up.
Yeah.
You know, two monsters squabbling. I would hate to have that. But, you know, I do look forward to seeing those two teams get to work. And, I mean, you look at Seattle. You know, when Seattle comes in the following week,
yeah,
that's going to be a huge test. Because Super you Bowl know.
Champs.
Yeah. And even though Pete Carroll's not there, that mindset of competition – It is still Mike McDonald went in and picked that right up, and
yeah.
I mean, you understand that you practice against those guys, like, you gotta bring it. You know what I mean? You saw when they came in here a couple years ago, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah,
you know, and then you got the Bears, right? And I mean, that's another team,
up and coming team,
looking to prove themselves. So it's these are three very nicely scheduled opponents.
Yep.
Now I know the substation is something that's bringing up a lot of attention. And right now, you know, the 49ers got 20 guys that are down. They had to cancel practice a few years ago because, you know, they had 20, like 25 guys down.
Yeah.
So we're going to see, you know, hopefully, like,
hopefully
they'll be able to still
yeah.
go. Like, you know, the next couple of days, hopefully they don't have anybody else go down and some guys coming back, you know?
Ed on the text line, and he's not the only one. We've had a couple of people concerned about your health being out there near the substation. Ed says, tell TD to watch out for his hammies
week. I'm going to be good, man. I spent some time out there for a couple of years in the early – in 2010, 11, and 12. So.
Okay.
I'm good.
So
you know what I mean?
You're used to the electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah, my body has built up the resistance.
it is a conspiracy theory. Again, John Lynch has said it's a nothing burger, and they brought in an independent scientist. But if it keeps happening year over year, there's something going on,
it's
right?
It's an anonymous scientist. It's like these league polls, like
right.
a random executive says, hey, you know, Jeffrey
yeah.
Simmons is the worst D tackle in the league. Well, who said it? I can't tell you.
Can't tell you. It's anonymous.
Yeah. Who said, hey, mind your business, man?
I mean, obviously it's in the 49ers' best interest financially to not have to deal with it, because
yeah.
that's going to cost a lot of money, whether it's moving your practice facility or moving the substation. Like, it's going to cost a lot of money to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, but, man, year over year, the amount of injuries in San Francisco is just alarming.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been that way for quite some, like, there was a period where, you know, I remember when Mike Singletary was there, it just everything was, they used to have a segment. I remember during camp, they had a segment called the Damn Nutcracker. And it was just the whole team, individual Oklahoma drills. Like, it would be – I remember it was Isaac Sopoaga, and who was the center? I forget his name.
Oh,
He got hurt. He was a good center. Then he got hurt.
For the 49ers?
Yeah, his neck got messed up. So then they had to get Jonathan Godwin. I forget his name. But, like, his neck got messed up, and he wanted to take out a suit against the 49ers for that. So I say all that to say it's not always the substation as much as sometimes it's just old school coaching that doesn't apply to the modern athlete.
Eric Heitman?
It wasn't Heitman. It was
what year was this?
I want to say 09.
09. Let's see. So that was the last year of Singletary.
Or it was 80. It was 08.
It says here online, TV, it says he suffered a ruptured disc and stingers originally linked to a physical, quote, okay. Nutcracker drill.
Okay, so it was Heitman. Okay. It was Heitman then. Pardon me. It was Heitman. Yep.
Yeah, it's good that they can't do those drills anymore. You know,
yeah,
that's just an easy way to get hurt. And the 49ers, again, I said it with, I think it was with Corey or Parker this week, of like, when the Titans had those 2 years in a row where everybody was hurt, it can be a coincidence of just, hey, you had two bad luck years in a row. But this is like going on 5 years, 7 years where the Niners are just always one of the most injured teams in the league. So,
yeah.
But we will see, fingers crossed, that no players nor reporters come back with injuries from Santa Clara next week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's talk some pass rush on the other side. Jacob Martin has been TD's guy throughout the offseason heading into training camp. He spoke yesterday. We'll get TD's thoughts on what he's seen from Martin and some of the young guys on the edge. Femi, Keldrick Falk, what have they looked like through the first week in pads? Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier. We got a few more segments with you on this Friday morning. Titans, three padded practices in. Nissan Stadium scrimmage tonight should be fun. TD said they're looking about 90 plays, going to be a scoring system on both sides, so excited for that. I wanted to get your thoughts, TD, on some of the pass rushers out there at Titans camp. Let's start with Jacob Martin. I know he's been your guy, a guy that they brought in kind of in that second wave of free agency. He's been a journeyman who's had some success most recently in Washington. Mm-hmm. He spoke to the media yesterday. What have your thoughts been on Jacob Martin as he started his first training camp here in Nashville?
I love the veteran role that he's playing, you know, to Slater, to Falk, and just being there before practice working on some of the technique is interesting. I posted a video of that, and one of these like online D-line coaches boosted the video, and he was talking about Falk doing work and what he was doing as far as the steps and just – kind of like turning a corner and so on and so speak. And he was like, and this other guy. And I'm like, give that guy, that other guy is a proven veteran in the league. His name is Jacob Martin. Like, show some respect, you know. But he is always out there before practice working with these younger guys. And look, man, like these, well, in Falk's case, like that's someone who's going to take reps away from him.
Yeah.
But he's still helping them. Femi Oladejo is someone that's going to take reps away from him, but you still see Jacob Martin working with him in between reps during individual period, during team period, et cetera. That part of it is invaluable, and it's pretty cool just seeing how the younger guys are taking that guidance, you know what I mean? So that's something. But then on the field, you know, he has a way of getting off the edge and getting in there. Like, he's gotten some pressures. And I think when you have a veteran like that, now look, he's not going to give you TJ Watt type of production, you know, so let's be straight about it. But having him among other guys just to keep sending in waves and waves and waves, I think is really good because it keeps everybody fresh. And you have, when you don't have that one guy that you could just rely upon coming off the edge, you know, if you have a bunch that could get you 5.5 to 8 sacks, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I like the way he talked about the Robert Saleh style for the defensive front. Like, you're so aggressive, you might fall over. Mm-hmm. And that's why he works on the footwork so much. I love – did we talk about this last week of Robert Saleh saying if he decided to drop a defensive end back into coverage, Aaron Whitecotton might blow up the building.
Yeah, like, you know, the reason being is because, like, I'm like, how much does not having to drop into coverage and read so many keys help a guy like Femi Oladejo? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he took the opportunity to crack the joke.
Femi, I actually thought, and Corey and I kind of disagreed based on what we saw. Corey watched Femi a lot in the one-on-ones and said that he struggled a little bit over there. I thought on Tuesday in the 11-on-11 drills, I thought Femi flashed multiple times, including what would have been a sack on Mitch Trubisky, but he forced the interception that ended practice. I was pleasantly surprised on what I've seen from Femi so far in the team drills.
Because you know why the interception was forced. You know why it happened?
Hit his helmet.
He hit his hand on the helmet of the guy that Femi beat. You know what I mean? So that's a good thing. And that's one of those things that, okay, you impacted the quarterback. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but you did your job.
It would have been a sack. Like, yeah. I was watching. I was like, Femi pulled up. He would have lit up Mitch Trubisky in a real game. But, you know, obviously, can't hit the quarterback.
Can't hit the quarterback. So, but, yeah, I mean, look – It's just the work in progress. That's what Femi is. Now, I don't know like what type of production he's going to give you.
Yeah.
I do know that I've seen a guy with a lot of talent, pure strength, that was confused, having to do so many different things, suddenly become an outstanding player when he's asked to rush the quarterback and just go get the quarterback or go get the football.
Yeah.
Right? See ball, get ball. You know how the saying goes? Well, Brandon Graham in 2016 became a much better player when he was able to just do that.
Yeah, and with Femi, the one thing Corey did say that I agree with on Wednesday is I do think he needs to expand his toolbox of pass rush moves. I think on Tuesday, yes, he was having some success, but it was all kind of just bull rush. I'm going to use my strength to push you back into the pot and collapse the pocket on the quarterback, which is great, but I do think he needs to add more counters off of that, which will be a process as he continues to develop.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And it's just, as you said, a process. I wouldn't expect 10 sacks. Right. 7 to 8 this year, hey, that's doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially at 0 last year in 6 games. You'd love to see Femi be a productive player in this pass rush. And you mentioned Keldrick Falk, a rookie, again, a young guy. He's 21 years old. There's a lot of growth that's still to come. But what have you liked from Keldrick Falk? What do you think maybe is leaving something to be desired as he starts his first training camp?
I like the get off and how he's firing off the ball, staying low. You know, that's hard for a 6'6 guy. You know what I mean? He's definitely made some improvements in that way. You would like to see a little bit more pressure, but he's getting back there at times, and I think he's another one, just a work in progress, and we'll see what happens. But I just really like the way he's taking the coaching. You see the improvement too. Just, you know, thinking about some of the drills, even in OTAs and minicamp we saw before practice, you know, as far as them putting a little hurdle right there and him, like getting down, and like they'll have him get down in their 4-point stance, right? You know, and kind of have so if they're coming from the right, they'll have that right leg cocked up, and it's teaching them to like really get off the ball, but in getting off,
stay low.
You're staying low, but you got to get that drive to where it's over the hurdle. The hurdle's maybe like, you know, about as high as a laptop, you know, sitting straight up.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? As far as like, you know, you're sitting at your laptop and you got the screen.
Right.
Like that. And they got to get off the ball with that leg and kick it forward and not kick the hurdle.
Yeah.
And then that next step, you know what I mean? And then you're seeing them do some things like taking a tennis ball and then bouncing it behind them. And they got to get off and go get it. And so you're seeing that make his pad level lower.
Yeah.
And when it's just fun. I get fascinated with these technique drills and seeing how these guys take it and apply it to game-like situations. Right? That's all you could do is a game-like situation right now. But you're seeing those things from Keldrick Falk just being applied and working for him.
And that's why you say, if you're going out to the scrimmage tonight, find Aaron White,
go find him,
and go sit near that group of the defensive line because they bring energy. And like you said, there's some cool things that you're going to see of how they get these guys prepared and doing the right technique to have success once you get to games.
Man, he has a whole bag of goodies to, you know what I mean? You got the football and the stick, of course, which we all love. Then you got the tennis balls. He has this other thing, too, because I was asking him about it, where it's like a it's almost like it's like a medicine ball with handles on it.
Okay.
And he'll take it and he'll throw it forward at them when they get off. So they not only do they have to get off quick, but they got to be ready with their hands, boom, to catch it. You know what I mean? Like, there's he's got a nice bag of tricks over there to work with. It's fun to watch those guys.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, our phone and text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Trevor on the text line asking, have you guys watched the mic'd up videos the Titans have put out? Really enjoyed the Dable, Brasillo, and White Cotton ones. Yeah, the Aaron White Cotton one was fun to watch. All of them have been good. I think this coaching staff has shown that it's a likable group so far.
They're very likable, and I think that's a great thing. But they're not only likable, but they're enforcers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no games being played. We haven't got – I didn't get to see the linebackers as much because they're kind of on a different field.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Marquand Emanuel, so informative. Tony Oden, so informative. And those guys are like the cool uncles, right? The cool unks. You don't want to disappoint them. You know what I mean? They don't really got to scream on you like that. They'll do it when they need to.
Yeah.
But they don't really have to.
Just got
to
give you the look.
And it's just like, damn. let me get right. You know what I mean?
And the linebackers have flashed. I know there was some questions about Dave Borgonzi being the hire there. And let's see what happens when you get to games. But the linebackers have been one of the more impressive groups so far during training
camp. Yeah. I mean, all four of them. You know, Cedric Gray has had his moments. You know what I mean? I think you look at, as you mentioned, Anthony Hill Jr., he's playing just Mike. And so it's funny because, like, they said that, right? And then, like, you'll hear Austin Slopeman or Cam Warren be like, hey, 53 is the Mike. No, duh.
Yeah.
They said he's only playing Mike.
They told you, so he's not playing anywhere else.
But it's funny. But, yeah, I mean, those guys, and even the rookie, 48, Sean James, I want to say his name is.
Yes.
He had a couple. As a matter of fact, if you look at Cedric Gray, his mic'd up, he was like, good hit, 48. Man, he blasted one of the running backs. He was on the right side, came in and blasted. I want to say it was Khalil Moore. It might have been Michael Carter. But it was he blasted somebody.
Yeah, the linebacking group has been great so far. The second string guys, Hill and Williams, have basically gotten a turnover a day so far throughout the padded practices. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text line. We got a couple more segments left with TED. We'll continue talking Titans when we come back. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier with you. Freaky Friday here on the program. TD joining us for the full show. Lots of Titans talk today. Pads have been on for the past three practices. Nissan Stadium scrimmage tonight. Gunner on the text line says, TD, how involved has Saleh been with both sides of the ball? Defensively, is he letting Bradley kind of do his thing, or does he have his hands in there a lot too? Well, Saleh's calling the plays.
Yeah.
But how involved do you think he's been with talking on the offensive side as well?
Well, one of the things that he always mentions is dropping in on the offensive meetings, you know, whenever asked about whatever is going on the offensive side of the ball. So behind the scenes, it seems like there's involvement. I mean, look, he's calling the defense, so, you know, it's not like he's going over there and say, hey, do this, do that, you know.
But yeah.
I think it's more behind the scenes where you're seeing the involvement.
Well, and I like the way that he talked, too, about the way they structure the practices of that first team period. They're communicating. They're working together to make sure that the offense is seeing what it needs to see, the defense is seeing it what it needs to see, and then you have the call-it periods later on in the practice as well. But I think that does allow Robert Saleh to understand what the offensive side of the ball is doing, even if he's letting Brian Dable kind of run the show over.
Yeah, and that's important, right? You know, I think it's critical. You got to allow the guy that you empowered to do his thing.
Yeah.
Right, and that's good leadership, being willing to take that step aside and allow them to do what they do best. And that's what you're seeing. But to your point, you know, you have the scripted, so to speak, period, you know, to give each other the looks necessary. And then it's call it. And I like to call it periods because that's more natural. And it's just like, okay, let's see how they react to this. Okay, they reacted to this that way. Let's counter with this. And now you're getting into the more strategy and just – you know, a more game-like situation.
Yeah. I mean, you're still getting good work in those scripted periods, but yeah, you're right. It is more of a sterile environment of like, all right, the defense needs to see what this looks like against this coverage, and the offense needs to be able to attack this with this play. Mm-hmm. So I do like when we get to the end of practice with the call-it periods. Rick on the text line earlier said, we are not getting enough in-depth coverage of Brian Daboll and Cam Ward in the offense. Thank you for your attention to this matter. We talked a lot of offense in the first hour, but with the Brian Daboll, Cam Ward dynamic, I do think that has been a real positive so far. You see, when the second and third team offenses are out there, Cam Ward is always over next to Daboll, talking to him, working through some stuff. And Cam Ward said yesterday in his NFL Network interview, he said, me and Brian Daboll are the same guy. And I think that partnership seems like it's been a success so far. Obviously, long way to go. You're still only a week into training camp, but overall, it seems like that's gone well.
Yeah, and look, you want to have the healthy dispute, right? And the fact that they are the same guy, that means neither one is going to back down from the other. Yeah. So that's a good thing. And typically, you know, when you have conflict, there's a better understanding, a better result that comes out of that. So it's good, you know, and you see them talk a lot. Like, I know the interceptions after that period, they walked over together to the other field, you know, while it shifted. I think it was to special teams. But, you know, Daboll was walking with Cam Ward and talking to him, and you could tell they were, you know, kind of ironing the things out, you know. So those are all positive. I mean, we're not going to be able to give you, like, every single
right
interaction that they have, yeah, because it's, you know, we're just not supposed to say
what relay they're what they're said, saying, yeah,
you know. But rest assured, the conversation is being had.
Yeah, and Brian Daboll said after those interceptions, he said lesson learned on those. And I think we did see that. We talked about it earlier, that he had the option to make a similar type play yesterday, yeah, and elected to just take what the defense was giving him.
Yeah.
Overall, for this Titans team, again, I know it's only three padded practices in, but I think we all kind of go into camp with some level of expectations, and it's hard to get a real gauge when you're not going against another team.
Yeah.
But have you been impressed kind of about what you expected, disappointed? What's been kind of your overall takeaways from the first week and a half of camp? Do you think this team is looking better than you expected or about the same?
No, it's about the same.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting anything spectacular.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting anything catastrophic, right? And I think – this time of the year, you got to understand, like, it's the time to iron out the kinks. It's
yep
the time to get things straight. You're going to have an occasional, oh, wow, like the Carnell Tate catch, you
right
know, or the Bellinger throw. But you're also going to have the occasional, like, oh, come on, man.
Yep.
Like the Amani Hooker interception.
Yeah.
So it's given me exactly what I expected. Now I want to see what happens in these –
joint
practice next week and in the following weeks as well, as well as the games. You know, the games, that's going to be opportunities for your Bryce Olivers, for your Nicholas Singletons, who we're not talking about enough.
Yeah.
But that dude, to be that big and move the way, it's, I can't wait to see him in the preseason.
Yeah,
game,
the running backs have been yeah pretty impressive so far. I mean, I think you're getting what you expect out of Pollard. Spears mm-hmm has had some nice moments. But, yeah, Singleton and Kalel Mullings have both had some nice moments on the yeah practice field too.
Yeah, without a doubt, they've had nice moments. And, I mean, Julius Chestnut as well, man. Like, they weren't blowing the whistle on contact. They were letting these guys run yeah through it. And, man, he was running through contact
yep
that one day. I want to say Tuesday.
Yeah, the overall, it's tough, as we were saying, like, when it's your offense versus your defense, you can't really tell, are you good or is the offense bad or vice versa?
Mm-hmm.
I think the joint practice will be that first benchmark yeah on Tuesday to see, all right, has this team taken a step forward early in training camp to be mm-hmm competitive with a team like that, even if the 49ers are a little more injured than most teams?
I hate that it's just one practice, though, because – you know, typically what I like to do is, like, okay, I'll watch offense this day. I'll
yeah
watch defense.
Yeah.
Man, you just got to figure it out.
Right.
Figure
split
it out.
Split your time.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones if you have any questions for TD. Again, next week probably going to be pretty tough to get TD in here because he'll be in California for most of the week. Yeah. So if you got any questions about joint practices, preseason game, all that kind of stuff. Get those in now. We will wrap up the show after this. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier finishing the show on this Freaky Friday. I need to go back and watch the stream for last Thursday when you came up for the one segment at training camp, and you were getting after it, getting ready.
Good. I gotta have a little fun.
He played the early Dreams and Nightmares at 9:15 when TD joined us, so that was great. We got one more segment with you. Again, get your questions in, thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. We got good news. Paul Kuharsky reporting about 20 minutes ago, Elik Iemanner's shoulder checked out and is good to go.
Good.
So back-to-back days with good injury news. You know, the concern about Dan Moore leaving practice early on Tuesday, concern about Elik Iemanner yesterday. Always good to see when those guys don't have to miss any time, especially for a guy like Iemanner who has really shown out during camp, and you want to see him continue to get those opportunities.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You want to see him be all right and continue to pick up on the momentum that he's created. So that's a good thing.
So we are now six practices into camp. Nissan Stadium scrimmage tonight, one more on Sunday, and then you get into joint practice on Tuesday in San Francisco. I know you were talking about you wish there were 2 days so you could watch offense, defense, but given this matchup against the 49ers, first chance to go against another team this year, where are the matchups, where are the position groups that you'll be focused in that practice, whether it's the wide receivers, the DBs, the linebackers? What are you going to be focused on Tuesday in Santa Clara?
Yeah, definitely O-line, D-line. That's going to be something to watch. Obviously, you know, Trent Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Franklin Myers, et cetera. I don't know how much work McCaffrey's going to do.
Yeah.
But I think if they do get into a one-on-one period and, you know, you get to see the guys – go against McCaffrey, I think that's going to be a good gauge. Those are the two mainly. Obviously, you know, Deebo Samuel's there. He's not the same as he used to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the DBs and receivers. I do like we'll see how they do one-on-one. So that remains to be seen. But mainly it's going to be O-line, D-line for me. That's going to be what I'm looking at on both sides.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because you look at, Nick Bosa against either Dan Moore, J.C. Latham.
I think he's dealing with something, but yeah.
When is he not dealing with something?
Yeah. All those guys, the Bosa brothers, man, like they're very tightly wound athletes.
You know. I did see Joey Bosa. He's still out there as a free agent. Atlanta maybe a possible landing spot with Jalen Walker getting hurt this week. Mm-hmm. The injuries around training camp have been tough so far this year. Like maybe it's just you don't really remember how many there are in a given year, but it does feel like there's been more season-ending injuries throughout the first few weeks of training camp.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first day you had Nick Salton.
Right. And, you know, they lost Chris Brazzle for the season, too, the rookie out of Tennessee, Walker. There was one other big one that I'm blanking on. There's been a couple of scares where it, like Shamar Stewart in Cincy. Mm. Everybody kind of thought that he had a serious knee injury and ended up just being hyperextended. So, but it's always tough to see these guys early in training camp end up getting hurt, and the 49ers have been the king of that so far this year with 20 guys not practicing. And then the preseason game coming up on Thursday, I would guess, again, not knowing specifically what Robert Saleh's plan is, I would guess the first teamers play a drive or two. Like, I don't think it's going to be a ton, but that's a big opportunity for guys at the back end of the roster. I think the biggest opportunity for the preseason this year is Will Levis. Like, he's got an opportunity to go show himself off to the other 31 teams, and he's going to – I've said this before, TD, like, do you think that Trubisky's going to play a ton in the preseason? Like, I would guess he's going to get some run, but – second half of games is probably going to be almost exclusively Will Levis. It's an opportunity for him to go show himself off and see if he can raise his value.
Yeah, it is an opportunity. And I wonder how they're going to do that preseason game rotation because, I mean, from what we've seen, you know, Hendon Hooker, I only saw him on the field that first day.
Right, when
training
Trubisky
camp,
was out.
Trubisky had the tightness, you know. So can you put him out there, you know, with him – maybe, you know, he's I don't even know if he's getting the walkthrough reps, right?
So right.
That'll be tough to get him out there and expect him to do anything, not repping it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I would imagine you're going to see a lot of Mitch Trubisky because he has to get his work. And, again, like you said, they want to showcase Levis as well.
Yep. Yep. So I think that's one of the bigger storylines to watch throughout the preseason. Speaking of the backup quarterbacks, let's go to our phone lines. James in Ashland City has a question about the QBs. James, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Typically, I'm talking to you in the afternoons, but I just kind of pretty much took what I was going to ask. Teron, I know it's not been much practice, but I was going to ask you, of the three backups, who do you think is looking the best? And do you think there's any place on this roster? Now, granted, I'm a Vols fan, so I'm a little bit of a homer. I'll admit that. And I never got a chance to see him get a chance in Detroit. I don't know what he's capable of doing, but I can't imagine that Mitchell Trubisky, which I've seen plenty of in Chicago and Pittsburgh, I can't imagine, and then you correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't imagine Mitchell Trubisky being a better quarterback than Hendon Hooker. I just want to know what your thoughts are. Do you think he'll get at least a practice squad spot here, or is it just too soon to say? And I'll hang up and listen, and thanks for the opportunity. Have a great, blessed day, guys.
Thanks for the call, James.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, James. I would say this. Trubisky, to me, is more valuable just from a support role and being that veteran, well-versed in the offense for Cam Ward when Cam Ward comes off of the field. I think that's more or less what this backup role is for, at least in this case. And then also, Hendon Hooker, I would imagine practice squad at best. He's just simply not getting reps,
right.
You know. So I'm not going to say Trubisky's a better quarterback. I'll say he's better for what this team wants out of their backup. And then if you had to pick, you know, out of the three, I mean, Hooker's automatically eliminated because we only saw him, you know, for a few series. And I think Trubisky has looked better than Will Levis. Neither one of them have looked spectacular. There's no competition for the job as far as the starter, as we know. But,
right.
You know, the backup situation, I think that's going to be – it's going to be Trubisky, and, you know, that's pretty much it.
Trubisky being a veteran and having experience in the Dable offense, like, that's the big thing. It's he had a really bad day on Tuesday. Trubisky did.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, I think he's looked fine. Will Levis has been his usual self. It's up and down. There are some really great plays from Levis. There are some really bad plays from Levis. And, yeah, I mean, Hendon Hooker, I know Vols fans love him. Again, I watched him play at Virginia Tech. I like Hendon Hooker, but they're showing you what they think of Hendon Hooker by how they're using him in practice. He is not getting snaps. He's mm-hmm. out there doing drills, and he's standing there. And I will give Hendon Hooker credit. I see him working after practice every single day. Like, the dude is putting in the effort, but they're telling you what they think of Hendon Hooker based on how they're using him right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think Levis is going to get the lion's share of those preseason reps next week, and we'll see. Maybe he can raise his stock enough that another team is willing to give you some value for him. But excited for next week. Joint practices on Tuesday, the preseason game on Thursday, first real benchmark for this Titans team. TD will be out there covering it all, so make sure you keep up with him. TD, always great having you in, and we'll do it again soon.
I appreciate it. It's great to be seen, man.
That does it for us today. Again, we are back on Monday reacting to everything going on with the Titans. They practice tonight at Nissan Stadium. They practice again on Sunday, so we'll have some content to react to on Monday morning at 9. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.